Okay, hello and welcome to Hockey Development Talk. Today I have three guests. So we have three guests from England Hockey who are here to talk about coach development. So welcome, people.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Hello.
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 So we have Matthew Way. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, Gary. How are we?
All good, thank you. We have Paul Connolly.
Good afternoon. Good morning. Still morning.
It is just about still morning. Yeah. And we have Sam Beveridge.
Hello. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning. So we're just going to quickly go through you, your roles, etc. Sam, you're the last one there, so we might as well bring you in first. So Sam, do you want to give us a bit about your role with England Hockey and your background in the sport?
Yes, so my name's Sam Beveridge and I've just been appointed a coach developer role starting this January. I taught for 17 years in both private and public sector schools as head of girls games, head of PE, director of sport. So my background is an educational one. My role specifically will be looking at delivering courses, workshops, some development of coaches in schools and clubs, and I've been tasked with auditing and working on coaching resources, what we currently offer and what might be needed in the future.
Excellent. And we have done a little bit of that already with the new 5-8 program, haven't we, as well? So yes, that coaching offer. Excellent. Paul, good morning. Yes.
Good morning.
So do you want to give us a little bit of background about yourself?
Yeah, I spent 17 years in the care sector running my own business where I acquired counselling skills and management skills and supporting staff around looking at their own development and where they wanted to be. On top of that, I was still coaching at Eton Cricket and was encouraged at one point when I went through a significant career change, life change at 40, to take a master's in sports psych. Which I did, which then enabled me to work in professional sport. I went to Man City for 4 years, working with Joe Royle and Willie Donaghy, in the time when we had absolutely no money. So it's been fascinating to watch their journey as a club over the last 10 years. Then worked at Lancashire Cricket Club, again with the players and first teams and the coaches. Both experiences made me aware that a lot of the work I was doing, even though through the players, was through the coaches. And then a role came up at Sports Coach UK about coach development, which I was there for 15 years. Left there and went to consultancy, got a piece of work with England Hockey, who then has grown into this role, really, as a national coach developer. I'm working with coaches across the whole system, ACP, performance centres, and looking at their development. So it's very exciting to be in part and parcel of England Hockey.
Indeed. And already bringing some of your previous work with you with regards to looking into this, again, the early stuff on the 5-8-year-olds. And it was just fascinating chatting to you around the fundamental movement skills, the importance of that, etc. So that's been eye-opening for me, for definite.
It's really interesting, Gary, because I think most of my team now have a bingo card about how many times I mention FMS. There is a real need still in our system.
There is.
And our developing children's movement skills.
Yeah. So, yeah, indeed. Which I'm sure we'll touch on. We'll touch on throughout
cool.
this. So, excellent. Cool. And then we've got Matthew Way. Hello, Matthew.
Morning, Gary.
Morning. So, do you want to give us a bit of background as well?
Yeah, of course. I'm not really sure I can follow Paul's journey because he's slightly more seasoned than I am in terms of experience.
I think you would say old there, Matt.
Well, it was a backhander compliment, Paul. Backhander compliment. No, so I suppose my journey is pretty similar to Sam's. I'm from a teaching background, so started playing hockey as a kid, sort of became a coach by default through university and my previous clubs that I sort of was at, so at Marlborough Hockey Club, sort of fell into the coaching role there. Started working up through the pathway, fairly traditional route to be honest, and then as a head of year and sort of PE teacher at school, so looking at trying to go more sort of into hockey as a full-time opportunity, and this coach developer role came up with GB Hockey and absolutely jumped at the chance. So sort of very young and sort of new into the journey myself in terms of as a coach developer, but absolutely loving it so far. In terms of sort of the day-to-day, there's a lot of delivery similar to what Sam was saying on the workshops and the courses. And I suppose the big one that I've sort of been charged task with is I oversee the running of the advanced coaching program.
Yeah.
So I know that's something that you and Nick discussed on one of your previous podcasts, and a nice bit of free advertising for us there as well. That was
good. yeah, the ACP is fantastic, and I'm sure we'll get into that in a little while as well. So, right, it's great to have all three of you on. It's a bit strange having to talk to three people on one podcast that are going to no doubt be questioned about some of this throughout, so it won't just be me asking those questions. So I think we'll just start with really, we'll sort of touch on what you actually are covering. So like you've said there, Matt, you're covering workshops and delivery, but also the ACP. Obviously, Sam, you mentioned about workshop delivery, but also looking at resources and stuff like that. Paul, you didn't touch on that, but I'm pretty sure that you'll have something that you'll be getting your teeth into, such as community of practices and also these the roadshows, etc. So if we start with Paul, so Paul, do you want to explain what you're currently working on with within the coach development team and what you're sort of heading up?
Yeah, I'm supporting the community of practice series events that we are running out across the country. It was targeted around supporting, if you like, the end in mind, re-engaging, reigniting, I think would be a good explanation really of it. Yeah. It's been really interesting to see yourself delivering at Wakefield, and you did one down at Reading, and there's another few coming up. It's really good, I think, to get coaches in a room and sharing some of those ideas, very much really on the back of what we did quite a few years ago at Sports Coaching UK, really, was the Talent Breakfast, which is getting coaches in a room for a variety of sections within the sport to actually talk about some of the challenges and issues that they present themselves. And I think there is a need for that. And I constantly talk about how do we keep those coaches connected.
On top
of that, I'm looking at delivering 7 regional conferences. Again, there'll be a piece around the end in mind. But also, again, how do we create those opportunities for coaches to share and be curious? Be curious about their development individually, but also their players' development.
Mm. No, it's good. And it's definitely something that's obviously grown the community of practices. Sam, Matt, just to bring you in, I can't remember if you've both delivered a community of practice as of yet, but I know that you both are at some point. How does that look? So, Sam, I think you have delivered yours, haven't you?
Mine's tonight, actually.
Wow. Well, so, good advertising. Good.
So, Bury St Edmunds, I've got 45 booked in.
Wow.
Come along tonight, so I'm really pleased with the uptake. So we've got Sarah Kelleher, who's the under 18 girls England coach, coming along. Mm-hmm. Stuart Guys, and we've asked participants to give some topics they'd like to discuss, so we're going to base our evening around those and just get coaches together and see where conversations go, really. Looking at the end in mind, bringing in the TDF. I'm looking forward to it. It should be great to connect coaches in this area.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Paul, are you not going to that one? Is this one of the few that you're not attending?
I did a visit last night at the Performance Centre, so I'm leaving this one to Sam tonight. Yes. And I've got the one on Thursday, though. Let's advertise Brett on Hello Press.
Yeah.
So we'll be there on that one.
Yeah, and I'm attending that one as well. Hopefully,
fantastic.
I can sit in the background and get challenged. That's the idea. So, having led one, it would be nice just to attend and see what people have got on offer. But again, always there to help. You know, I'll happily.
And that's about it. It's about sharing ideas and just that and getting conversations going. That's for me really, really crucial.
I also think challenge is a really good word. I think people shouldn't be nervous or worried to challenge other people's ideas, and the discussion will hopefully go to a good place if people do challenge things.
Yeah, for sure. And have you seen much of that, Paul, on the community of practice when you've been out? Have you seen much challenge around Any of the stuff that we've mentioned there, end in mind, talent development framework, golden thread, anything like that? Or has most people been sort of engaged with it and not actually challenging or not?
No, I think there is challenges out there. And, you know, I was at the performance centre last night and we're still talking around the challenge of delivering the concept of what the TDF is end in mind back at clubs or academies. So, you know, it's just good to really get the perception of coaches and really be able to support them in just trying something that they might be a bit different to them, but also give them the support on that. Because I think, again, the whole model, and I'm really excited about working with England Hockey in this sense, they've moved away from the classic level ones, two, threes and fours. It's about getting coaches to work in their environments they actually have the skill for.
Yeah.
Now, that presents a challenge about supporting them, because we know coaches don't learn in the environment of a classroom or a workshop. It's about going out there and supporting them in their environment. Now, that's great for us as coach developers, but it's also a challenge in a way to help them support that, which, again, for me is great. We have the community of practice. How do they then go away within 28, 30 days of picking a nugget up from the session and going, actually, I need a bit of support delivering that? Because we know what it's like, don't we? They go back into the community where they've got parents watching them, other coaches, other players, and that can be quite challenging, and they become isolated again and then revert back to type.
Yeah, agreed. And that was something that, being the first community of practice that was delivered, I've been really conscious of trying to keep in contact with those people. We've been over the 30 days now and sort of like, what are they finding? You know, is there any support that's needed? Which has led into more conversations about additional support, other workshops, attending sessions, development, which then brings you guys in, which you know, is awesome. But also, it's opened a few ideas and it's opened people's eyes to like, oh, actually, we can just contact England Hockey about some support here, and that's great, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. From your community of practice, have smaller groups sort of formed and people made their own little forums and keep connecting that way, or have you kept a whole group sort of approach to keep?
There's been a few groups formed, but more around local to them. So in the Wakefield one, there was people from all over the place, really, to be honest with you. So and it was obviously, it's quite a large Yorkshire, Humber was quite large, but also we had people from outside of Yorkshire coming in, which was, again, was awesome. So you had people on the border in Derbyshire. They've kind of done, I would say, a bit of a cross-fertilisation. So there's been a couple of coaches that then hooked up. So they're different clubs and sort of just checking each other out in a nice way. So they've gone and had a look and sort of gone, oh, right, yeah, I didn't realise that you could do that. So that's where we've started.
Yeah, that's all come from that evening and that chat, which is great. Yeah. If we can facilitate more and more chats, I think people will feel supported and get support in ways that they need to individually.
In the area of this community practice is a piece of research in itself, is that there are formal versions of community practice and then there are more informal. So I ran one with Robin in Newclan for the Northwest, which is a very informal, but I'm probably based around the performance centre, which again, for me, is great for that link around, you know, offering the opportunity, come and watch us at a performance centre, come and talk to us, because we're open to that. I think when you get a bit bigger, 50 plus, there is potentially a bit of a challenge with that.
Yeah.
But it's about, you know, I think there are a couple of approaches that we can make. And referring back to Sam's piece, I think we can set up sort of little buddy groups where they support each other in twos or threes and go, I tell you what, heard that at that session. You know, should we try it in our club? And they work together in twos or threes. I think that's a great way for them to learn. They can then come back to you or whatever as a facilitator.
Yeah.
Social media will really support that. So it's
absolutely.
To set up your little WhatsApp group, you drop a picture of what you've done and you have a little mini discussion, takes 2-3 minutes, and you pick up so many ideas from other people, and I think that's important that we keep sharing.
A bit like your my WhatsApp group on the ACP, Sam, like you shared the other weekend.
Exactly that, yeah.
Which is awesome. Okay. Matt, I'm conscious we haven't brought you in here. So your community of practice experience so far, have you had much experience with any down your way? He may not even be there. He may have gone. Who knows? He's gone for a cup of tea by the sounds of it, Paul. He's got...
No, sorry.
No.
Oh.
No, he has gone. So, okay. So, Paul, just catching up with you again, just around your second bit. You were talking there about your conference. With the conferences, what are you doing with the conferences?
They'll be over a full day. Again, they'll be around player, environment, in game. Yeah. Topics where, and a big piece for me is encouraging them in the middle, where we'll have a networking opportunity again for coaches in the community to share some ideas and thoughts. The topics will be presented by the team, the coach developer team, and we'll encourage the regional connections to really begin to engage. And that's so I'm looking to help and support the regional relationship managers around that piece of work. And maybe over the next, you know, some regions will say, well, why haven't we got one in our region? Maybe over the next, you know, next year we'll have them in other areas.
Yeah.
So they'll be very much based around supporting, again, the development of the end in mind and continuing those conversations.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that that will definitely help. And, you know, having that open to all to attend, etc., would be useful. So
yeah,
we'll see where that leads. That sounds like a big piece of work to start with. So that's great. We're now joined by Matt. So if he is available now, let's see what he has to say around community of practices.
Sorry about that, Gary.
Am I back? Okay.
Cool. Yeah, no, just saying, so Ian Cordwell and I are running one down in Bath, so at the university there, on the 24th of April.
Yeah.
So very excited about sort of getting the opportunity to get coaches together, as you guys have been discussing. And I think the point that you guys are making about the idea that we, you know, this is almost like a formal starting point, but it should really just spark so much more informal. Mm. I think the them and us approach to coaching, and you know, they're in our area, so we can't possibly talk to each other. I think they're going. I really get that sense with hockey. It feels like people are willing to go out and sort of communicate with each other. I think that's a massively important resource. You know, each other is probably the best resource we've got. Yeah. Therefore, you know, it'd be a bit silly for us not to utilize each other. And I think if we as a governing body can help that happen, can spark the conversations, then I think we're doing a good job on that aspect.
Yeah, agreed. I've actually seen through social media actually that there's a few other coaches from different sports that are going to go to community practice at Old Sills that I've seen. So again, that'll be interesting to see what they have to sort of add to the party in some respects. And again, something that we should be quite open to listening to. You know, if they're working in football, basketball, be great to hear how this sort of end in mind structure fits in for them. Be really useful. So great, thanks for sharing that bit there, Paul. Sam, your pieces of work that you're massively involved in now, so do you want to just talk us through that?
So the biggest one for me is this resource project. So if you go on a workshop or intro to hockey at the end, you'll be given a set of cards to take away. Mm-hmm. And that might give you some ideas of practice design that you can take away and have a look at and use. So I'm having a look through those with Matt. Matt and I are doing this project together. Having a look through those, see what's currently on offer, asking coaches what kind of resources they might desire or need or think that there's a gap for, having a look at the Hockey Hub, where there is so much stuff that you can access now, especially if you get the coaches membership, lots and lots of videos and practices which come to live, which I think is really important. Some people struggle when they see something explained on a card, so to see it live with players of the same similar standard that you might be coaching, I think that's a really helpful tool. Mm. And just seeing if there is a new product that we can launch that coaches can access to help them with their design. I think what's very interesting is sort of the categories of coaches and how much time that people have to plan before sessions and what sort of resources they would need to help them in their coaching environment.
Okay. No, that's really, it's really useful to hear, and I think clubs and coaches would love to hear more about that along the way. So, you know, be exciting to hear what is where that's going to go. You know, the resources that we've currently got on the Hockey Hub, I think, are really good. You know, could we make it even better? There's obviously going to be ways of doing that, but it'd be interesting to find out how people want that support. You know, the little clips that are on there, 2, 3, 4 minutes long, are great, and I think they could really help people. But, and I appreciate that some coaches really want a bit more, so they want to see like a whole session with a certain age group. And, you know, is that a way to go? Who knows?
Yeah.
So, definitely going to be useful. Okay. Is there anything else as well? So you're going to be looking at delivery as well. So delivery.
Yes, so I'm delivering some workshops and some sessional and club coach courses. But I'm also, because it's the GB offer, I'm up to Scotland a few times this year, delivering with the Scottish coach developers as they also come to us. So it's really good to go and see different parts of the country and meet people all around, really.
Yeah, great. Thank you for sharing that. That's ace. Matt, your piece of work. You're looking at ACP, and you're also going to be looking at some delivery yourself. Do you want to explain a little bit around that?
Yeah, of course. So very similar to Sam's, sort of delivering right across the offer from the intro all the way up to the advanced coaching program, all the workshops, and sort of involved with a couple of clubs directly as part of the offer. You can do sort of a bespoke coach development package.
Yeah.
So quite exciting stuff there as well, sort of getting to grips with a club. And, you know, I think I'm down to be with them for sort of over the next 18 months. So hopefully can have some real sort of positive developments there. Advanced coaching program specifically, ACP, taking over the sort of the overview of it, trying just to make sure that, as it should be, it's sort of the premium thing that we offer. We want to, I suppose it's on a quite similar mindset to, we've talked about the community of practices. We want to challenge people, we want to stretch people, and we want people to be curious about their own learning and taking on themselves on their journey. We will guide them, but I think, as Paul made the point earlier, people don't really learn from being sat, being talked at. We're all very aware of that. And therefore, you know, we've got compulsory sort of workshop elements to it, which will spark questions, ideas, thought processes. But I think what we're not giving always is answers, which I think is probably a little bit different than people have experienced before. So I suppose there's elements of sort of making sure that it meets the requirements that we want it to. It's progressive. I'm always looking for ways to improve the offer.
Yeah, agreed. So with that, with the offer itself, is there anything that's sort of outstanding at the moment that you're sort of going, okay, that's possibly going to change? You know, for people that don't know what the ACP is, do you want to have a quick discussion around what it looks like right now?
Yeah, of course, more than happy to. So it's sort of under the old level one, level two, level threes, ACP has sort of come in as I suppose a not quite direct replacement, but instead of the old level three award. The whole point of the sort of the process is to try and take people away from tick box, evidence, well, not evidence based, I suppose, sort of portfolio based, continual logging of everything. Mm-hmm. Doing it for the sake of doing it. We use an online training diary with the hope that people, you know, reflect on the interactions that they have with their mentor, that they have during, we have a set of compulsory workshops. We have conferences where we offer sort of a variety of workshops that the learners pick from. I suppose the idea is we don't want it to be too prescriptive in terms of what it will look like for an individual, because we recognize that individuals going on to it will be at very different points. Mm. So that idea of individualized learning, it's not easy to create that. And I think we do a really good job of that at the moment, but we recognize that there's ways we'll be able to do that better moving forward.
Yeah.
I mean, I was lucky. I was actually on cohort one. So in 2016, I was one of the first people on the first cohort to take part in ACP. Had my sort of graduation in the summer of 2018, and then very shortly afterwards actually was offered the role with GB Hockey as a full-time coach developer. So it's been quite a nice journey for me. I've been through it. I kind of have experienced what the others are experiencing, and so anything that I'm trying to do is, or any changes that I'm looking to sort of adjust in it, it's I suppose it's from a position of having been through it and understanding what worked really well and maybe what we can push forward on. Because, you know, we've got to be realistic. There's always going to be things we can improve in any aspect.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. So look, you know, that's three huge pieces of work that you're doing, never mind going out and supporting clubs and delivering the workshops, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's really useful. So I think that brings me on to next, really. So to talk to all three of you about what are you currently doing? What, when you're out and around, what have you sort of seen? So if we think around that, so I don't mind who wants to go first on that. So when you've been out, what sort of things have you been seeing at the moment within the hockey world? What sort of like come and wowed you? What sort of things are you seeing that you think, oh, we probably need to support here and develop? Anything that jumps out?
I'm happy to come in on that one.
Yeah.
So for me, I think there's been, you know, with the Golden Thread, with the Talent Development Framework, the information is out there. At the moment, I think there's a lot of people who are aware of that, but there's equally a lot of people who maybe we haven't quite got that message to. It's kind of the old adage, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
So at the moment, the environments I tend to be in and tend to be observing in are ones sort of through the pathway, through people who have connections to England hockey directly. So therefore, I think we get to see quite a lot of good practice. Mm-hmm. Lots of sort of fun individual interactions, lots of challenge, lots of sort of constraints-based approach, you know, the model of sort of coaching that as a governing body we're a big fan of. We think it adds real value, and I think the athletes taking part in it, you can see the enjoyment they're having. I suppose it's the question is the environments we're not seeing.
Mm. Yeah.
What's out there? I think that's a challenge for anyone, you know. There's always a finite amount of resources, and how do we get out there the best we can to have impact. It's been so much good practice. I was down at Southampton Performance Centre last night with Mal Alexander. That was brilliant. Running a really interesting session on goal scoring. Set up some really nice sort of 4v4 with constraints that meant there were loads of goal scoring opportunities. It was really, really enjoyable evening. So there's so much good practice out there. It's, again, it's how we share that. It's how that information gets to everyone. I think that's where England Hockey are trying to go and really push that community feel.
Okay, cool. No, that's good to hear. Good to hear. Paul, Sam, any of you?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I have got, you know, the piece of work that I've got is I have 15 mentors on MNTs on the ACP program. So you see an awful lot across the country. And I think there's some really good practice. And I've now got to a stage where, and again, with the Performance Centre head coaches, there's some really good practice. And I start to talk to them around, they are the agents of change. Because they've been on a program, they've seen the TDF, the Golden Thread, and the implications of really good practice. You know, they have that influence, and it's around really beginning to cascade some of that information, that process around helping others develop. Because, you know, that for me is a really key element of this good practice. How do we actually help and facilitate them to become better agents of change, so they have the confidence, the ability to share this piece? Because, you know, there is a real challenge in the system of seeing good practice, but then going back into their environment and being able to actually deliver it themselves.
Yeah.
So there's the piece of work across, like I do exactly the same as Sam and Matt, that, you know, I cover the whole spectrum of the piece of work, but we have different pieces. But it's about, for me, engaging those individuals in that system, and how do we connect them better with this piece of work.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's cool. That's cool. Sam, what about yourself? What have you seen or been part of?
Yeah, I'm really lucky. I team manage the GB development program women's side and the England under 21. So I get to see that environment as well, and I'm able to see what's happening at the top and hopefully be able to spread the message through who I see and other environments that I go in. So that's been great for me to be able to share that. Mm. I think when I've delivered some of the intro to hockey courses, it's fantastic to see so many young people wanting to get involved. So sort of your under 18s, and we've even piloted a young leader award. We did that at Harston Magpies, where we had 20 young young people who are getting involved in the junior side coaching, which is fantastic to see that that they want to get involved, not just in playing, that they want to give back to the younger members of their club. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, we're going to need them, aren't we, in the long term. Sustainability, clubs are going to need more young leaders to come through because they're going to be your senior leaders probably in years to come. So
And I think clubs are growing their youth section so quickly, 100, 150 young players on the pitch. You need people to come and give some help and support to the people who are leading that. My only concern and worry that I have seen is where we're trying to encourage a game-based idea, not to forget that we actually do need to give some of the technical stuff within that as well. And my message and discussions and hope, and I think it will probably come up tonight in the community of practices, is how do you ensure that you can still give players a chance to practice their techniques within a game based environment. So that's been the thing that I've been looking at most when I go around the country.
No, I agree. And I think I'd bring all three of you in there to talk around that. I think that's a big challenge that we have as a national governing body. And I think we have as a sport is to get that technical shaping into games and getting that out. You know, I still see things on social media where people just perceive it to be, well, we're just playing a game when it isn't. You know, I can't do England hockey's gameplay ethos within Golden Thread because my players aren't ready to do it yet. They've not learned the basic skills when actually we can. You know, the idea is that we teach the skills and the techniques within those games, and it's just how we do that. So are you guys seeing that as well?
Absolutely. I think that's a great point, Sam. And I think it's very healthy because we're now creating that debate and that conversation. And it is about, I've had the same conversation last night at the PC. Exactly that kind of conversation needs to be brought up, and I think it's really it is a real challenge in the system because it comes back to me around education of the coaches at the time. We have got this concept. It's around now engaging the coaches to really understand you can do things within a game, but it needs to be broken up into random and block practice, etc. at certain times. But again, key one for me is knowing the players that you're working with and having that relationship and what are their needs at the time. And we often see coaching, don't we, where they'll throw a session plan out and everybody has to do it. Well, why does everybody have to do it? Maybe three or four players are really struggling with one piece. Maybe you need to break the practice up and you break your system up according to their needs. And that's a real education piece. Because I think we're in that transition at the moment and we need, and that comes back to my term, we need agents of change for coaches to go to understand it. So last night, for example, Greg Wade, really good high performance coach, really clear about what his needs are from the PC. And I think we as an organisation need to support him in being able to go into the system around the Midlands to help them facilitate that understanding.
Yeah. No, that's good. That is good. Okay, so quite a lot of stuff that we spoke about there is, you know, has been around the performance side of the game. From a club's perspective here, you know, we obviously, that's where we're going to see the biggest impact and the biggest change. How do you think we're going to get that done? How can clubs get that done at the moment? Obviously, Sam's already spoke about intro workshops. We've obviously got other workshops itself within engaging games and coaching for club players and stuff like that. Do you think this is an area that we could do and develop more within clubs? And do you think that's something that you guys are going to be able to help with? Matthew's in to speak.
I'm in. Yeah, no, I think clubs at times, they're not forgotten by us, but I think obviously we've placed a bit of emphasis in the pathway. And I think sometimes people feel as though it's not for us, the offer isn't for us. I think the refinement to the offer that's happened recently is brilliant. I think if you look through all the different options, there's going to be something that suits your club. And I think one of the, you know, a brilliant example I was involved with before Christmas, before I sort of started full time, was Wootton Underage Hockey Club. They identified that they had a lot of, I suppose, junior helpers and younger coaches and people who just came along and helped out and wanted to improve that. So they've run two workshops all in-house. Two of us went along and sort of ran those evenings. And I think the impact that I'll then have on a club is really significant. Mm-hmm. You know, and I always understand there's going to be cost implications to everything, but by keeping it in-house, using their own facilities, reduces all that and just makes it a little bit more manageable all round, I think, because obviously we're realistic in that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think the next, sorry, Gary, to interrupt. I think the next, like, the point around community of practice is quite an important one on a club level as well. I think, you know, I think I referenced it earlier, the idea that rivalries and sharing our secrets and, you know, wanting to make our club the best. I think those days are dwindling. I think there's a lot more of an element of let's try and make the clubs.
No, sorry, Matt, your signal's probably gone.
I think that's a real shift. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Gary, am I back?
Yeah, your signal went in and out a bit there, but I think the gist of it is that what you were saying was definitely around sort of clubs working together, engagement and that sort of stuff, which I completely agree with. So my role within the relationship manager world, I see a huge amount of engagement in North Yorkshire. So City of York, Thirsk, Scarborough, Pickering, Harrogate. Clubs coming together, Tadcaster coming together, sharing some great ideas in the room, actually talking about, well, you know, we're struggling on this night, well, we've got a coach here that could perhaps come over, and that sort of stuff probably 10 years ago was unheard of, 5 years ago was unheard of, really. And it's certainly nothing to do with what I've done, that's just clubs being very more welcoming, and that makes it easier. So when it comes to workshops in North Yorkshire, they get filled up. They talk to each other, they go, right, we're looking at putting engaging games on here, great, and then they get it all shared. The next thing, 20 people are signed up, and in September we really could have run two workshops. There was more to sort of deal with, which we're going to do at the end of the season. I think that's definitely the way forward.
Agreed 100%. It's, you know, the resources are there, why aren't we sharing them, why aren't we utilizing them? The knowledge is out there, I think, is the message I would keep wanting to deliver. You know,
for sure.
There's people who can help.
Agreed. Sorry, Paul, we cut you off there.
Yeah. No. There's another piece of work that has been around at Bisham for a while, but we just haven't had the staff to deal with it, is that there's a couple of clubs have had a piece of work on the table awaiting an individualised club approach.
Yeah.
So the Reading have stepped up, and I've been down to the club to look at basically looking at their wants and needs to then wrap around a piece of work. Now, and the club have paid for that, and then we're now beginning to engage them with the great piece of work that Claire pulled together again, the coaching document, around really mapping out what they need for the next 18 months, because it's been recognised there are some significant clubs in our system. If we had an individual programme around mapping their needs, we could make a massive impact. Now, that's an experiment at the moment, and I think that is a piece that can really help to develop, because that, you know, we recognise, England Hockey recognise the importance of the clubs, and we need to support them in their environment.
No, that's just really, really useful to know, and I know a couple of clubs have already sort of been discussing that, and they've obviously seen it, so they're discussing it a bit further as well, which again is great to hear. Sam, have you done much, have you had much engagement with clubs at all, other than obviously the stuff that you've already mentioned with the young leaders, etc.?
Just starting to build contacts with clubs, and meant to be doing some bespoke offer down in London. I just wonder how many clubs realize that they can ring up and say, we'd love to put on a course, how do we do it? I wonder if they just think, oh, we'll keep checking the website to see when there's a course close to us, rather than the other way around. So I would really encourage it, if clubs want to get together with other local clubs and put on a bespoke a course for them, then please contact us and we can organise it and get that done.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the on-demand stuff with the coaching for club, the engaging games, the introductory to hockey coaching, it is there. You can just go online, click on the form, complete it, suggest some dates, obviously preferred venue, and we can get that in straight away, and people can get that discussion going, and can we meet the minimum numbers, you know, the 12 to get it on. And certainly as a relationship manager, that happens more and more for me now, because it's sort of what I'm promoting. You know, if you as a club think you need an engaging games, an intro, you know, a coaching for club, then let's have a look, let's see it. Often then I chat to a few other local clubs as well that are near it, don't need to in North Yorkshire because it happens just naturally for them, so that's great. It takes a little bit of pressure off me, but yeah, agreed, Sam, I think that's a really good thing to get out there. So look, just before we start to sort of wrap anything up, people want more information about coach development. We've got Hockey Hub, we've got Claire's coaching offer, we've got the talent development framework. Is there any other key areas that we want to promote here that England Hockey do? Is that everything, do you think?
Well, we've got a Hockey Hub, of course, that is now going to be constantly updated. Mm-hmm. And the website.
Yeah, no, agreed.
The Danny Carey evenings, etc. There's lots of things really beginning to happen. I guess one of the challenges we'll have as a team is trying to keep that constant stream of information going and attract the coaches to it. And I think internally, that's where we need to connect with you guys as regional managers.
Yeah.
Relationship managers.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed, and I think teaming up and working together would be for definitely the way forward. Okay.
We just need to keep encouraging coaches to come and speak to us and ask for things they would like to see as well. This resource project, it can go anywhere based on what people need. So, you know, it's an open remit. So if people think they're missing something, then please come and have a chat and contact us.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. So contacts are all on the website, I assume, for yourselves. All three of you are on Twitter. So again, when we put this podcast out, we can tag you in. People can obviously communicate that way. That's definitely helping as well, I think. Just get people just chatting to start with. So look, you know, that really gives us a bit of a brief insight into what these roles are, because they are quite new, with them being sort of, well, Sam, you're part-time, aren't you, and the other two are full-time, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And then I team manage for the other part.
So obviously that this is new, whereas before the coach developers have been a little bit like myself, where we just, you know, you get some workshops, you get some courses, you go and deliver. I think this is great to have full-time coach developers in. It gives us a little bit of a snapshot at the moment about what you're doing, and I think it'd be great in a few months to come back, probably just before start of next season, and sort of find out what's gone on over the summer and what some really really good stuff is, because at the moment the future sounds busy, if I was honest. For the three of you, the future does sound really busy. So anything else that you'd like to sort of throw in before we begin to wrap it up?
Yeah, I think I just want to finish, Gary, that, you know, I think you're right, it is very busy, and I really want to endorse the fact that in these roles, the big key for me is having time to develop the rapport and trust with the coaches. I don't think it's definitely not a quick fix. It's definitely not one size fits all. You know, I do think we need as a sport to look at the fact that everybody, whether you're a coach tutor, whether you're a coach developer, we're actually coach developers as a team.
Yeah.
And we need to get that across more and more into our system, because, you know, it's definitely not, coach developer role is definitely not assessing, it's to help supporting and facilitating their growth.
Yeah.
As a coach.
No, agreed. Look, and I think it's great to see that we've now got these roles. It'd be really interesting to see how the summer pans out, and obviously stuff's gone on, and do we get clubs that are more engaged with regards to this coach development offer? Do we see more? What are we going to see at the end of all these community of practices? Let's give that 3 or 4 months. You know, what sort of happened? What sort of feedback have we got? So I definitely would love to have that chat with you later on to find out what's really going on, and You know, have we made an absolute monster of work by this community of practice? Because if we, you know, if we do reach 1,000 coaches that attend these, then there's going to be probably more questions than answers at the beginning, because there's going to be lots of people that are wanting info. There's going to be lots of people that are going to be wanting some support, and how are we going to offer that? So that's going to be great, I think. So, look, thank you for your time. Appreciate you've got work to get to and crack on. Just great chatting.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
Take care.
No worries, thank you. We'll be right back.